I've watched our country in the last while. I don't like what I see. It's not about who's president. It's not about any of that. It's about how this nation is being perceived. This has been a glorious nation. And we have had freedom, and we've had joy. We've been able to travel across the great area of this whole nation. And to tell you the truth, it worries me to even think about journeying across this country anymore. Because the country has turned very selfish. It's all about me. I don't give a rip about you. I grew up in a time when people were sick in a congregation. People would just go to them, send them, give them food or do for them, daub them with whatever they needed daubing. If people were down and out, they were helped. Now it's all about, seems to be anyway to me, all about myself. I don't want to be that person. I want to be about somebody more than me. I enjoy my family, my friends. I enjoy you. I've been with you for so long, it's like longer than dirt. Something's wrong in this country. It cannot be fixed by the government because the government had a lot to do with breaking it, and not just recently, but for a long time. And you can go back a long ways with that. We, as a group of believers in various expressions of faith, and I'm talking about any kind of faith people in this country, whatever expression of faith they may be, we are all guilty at some level of being selfish. And it is showing its ugly head all over this nation. People will take things from you that they used to would not do. You can't even leave stuff outside anymore without locking it up. Because somebody wants it, they just come get it. They feel like they're justified. You didn't see anybody on it, so you just took it. Well, that's one of the good things about being out in the country. There's a lot of territory to cross before you run off with anything like that. Luke 9:23-26. Then he said to all of them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory." I don't want God to be ashamed of me. Anybody in here want God to be ashamed of you? We're going to spend some time today asking some questions and talking a little bit. Maybe there's a better way to do this, but it seems best to me dealing with it this way and making it as visible as we can to bring it out in the open. You cannot fix things you can't see. I had a problem with my tractor. I have a John Deere, nice tractor. But we filled it up with fuel and all the fuel ran out of it just by dripping. It was sitting there for days, and quite a lot of money evaporated on the floor. So I started looking for why. Never could find it. Finally, yesterday, Kevin found it. And it was just a little bitty nothingness thing that just got twisted the wrong way. You ever get twisted the wrong way? Your life ever get twisted the wrong way? It can mess up everything you've got. I'm going to tell you about a John Deere tractor. If it's not right, it ain't gonna do nothing right. That's just the way it is. But when it works, ooh, you can sure bury some people if you need to. The first step an alcoholic has to take to recover is to admit, I'm an alcoholic. Without that admission, everything that follows in the treatment for that person is useless. We believe and we need to come face to face with one of the most destructive issues in humanity. And that's not necessarily alcoholism, though it's part of it. When you see a person who is selfish, what goes on in your mind of a selfish person? Every one of us know what it's like. And it's real and it's big. If you were to think long and hard about it, what role do you think selfishness in an individual or group of individuals plays in society? You think it's a big play? Selfishness? Why does a person steal from another person? I have never stolen a thing. Well, I did one time. I was real young. My mama and daddy found out it beat me half to death, and we took it back to the store. I ain't never went back in that store. Does a thief want what you have so that he or she can have it for themselves? Or maybe sell it, get something else like drugs or whatever it might be? Why do bullies bully? You realize this is stuff, selfish stuff, that goes on all over this country. And you don't even have to hardly move away from your yard to see it in progress, depending on where you live. Why does a child throw a screaming fit in a store for a piece of candy? My mama and daddy knew how to fix that. It might happen once, but it wouldn't happen again. And live. It's a learned behavior. And we have that learned behavior going all over this nation. And the nation and the people in the nation are not necessarily going to fix that. That's our job, actually. Why were the people of Israel discontent with Moses' leadership? You remember that? We don't like Moses anymore. They grumbled against him. What was at the heart of that? This stuff is not new. This has been going on since the beginning of time. Here's your good one. Why is it that we have lawmakers in this country who make laws and then set themselves aside from it? They don't have to do it. That's about as dumb as you can get. If you're a lawmaker, you make good laws and hold them up as righteous things. Why would a teacher do less than his or her best in a classroom full of hungry students? If you're going to be a teacher, you be the best one you can. If you're going to be a preacher, you be the best one you can. You won't be the best there is, but you'll be the best you can be. Why would students do less than their best to learn when it's something that would promote their future? I can tell you, and I'll confess to you, when I was in school, all I wanted to be was out. I didn't care who. Now, I liked shop, and I loved the band. But for the rest of that stuff, I didn't have any use for it. Now, you can't tell any of that now that I've been reformed and I'm so good at English and such as that. Why would a person sleep all day long? And their family come in from work and their kids come in from school and she or whomever has not done a thing in the house? What is behind that? selfishness. Why would a workmate on the job intentionally leave work that he or she should have done, making it put the burden on somebody else to get it done? That happens in the workplace every day. What's at the heart of that? Before Adam and Eve pulled their stunt in the garden, God never had to instruct them past the words, tend and work the garden. If you notice, God didn't say, go get you a rake, go get you a hoe, build a hoe, invent a hoe. He didn't do all that. He just said, work the garden. You figure it out how to work the garden. Afterwards, when they pulled their big blunder, he had to tell Adam just how it's going to be. He had the opportunity to do it free flow. And now God says, you're going to do it this way right now. As a matter of fact, it was that selfishness in both of them that caused their demise. Man stomps out of the house in anger because his wife will not agree to letting him buy a new shotgun. Now, I'm going to tell you, ladies, y'all probably don't do much with shotguns. We like shotguns. We like shooting them. Now, it could be that what she's seeing is there's $800 or $1,000 invested in this gun. And we've got the electric bill and the groceries to deal with. I can understand somebody being upset about that. Or maybe she's just upset because she didn't get anything, and now she can't. Our society, the whole of humanity, is plunged deeply into selfishness. And we're not exempt because we're believers. That stuff can snoop up on us before we think about it. It's estimated that there are 10,000 churches that split in North America every year. When's the last time we had a split? Some find it hard to believe, while some people think that's actually too conservative of a number. Raise your hand if you ever heard of a church splitting because Jesus Christ was crucified. You ever heard of a church that split because Jesus was raised from the dead? Was there a church split because Jesus went about doing good? What about this one? I don't like the preacher. Boy, you hit pay dirt right there. I don't like y'all's preacher either. But I have to listen to him. I don't like the songs they sing. I don't like Alan stomping his foot. Who gives a rip about stuff like that? I don't get anything out of those sermons. I've been to church 3 Sundays in a row and nobody spoke to me. Well, what happened to your mouth? Can't you speak? They always need more money. Do you notice? I comes up in this thing a whole lot of times. I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't care about that. Instead of working to fix the problem, churches will often split because the selfish spirit can't get out of the way. That's why you have them busting up all over the country. We want what we want when we want it. Waiting on something for most people is a difficult time. How large a role does selfishness play in eternal things as we conceive them? We love to whine and moan. We love whining and moaning in churchendom about how difficult the Christian life is. Oh, it's so difficult. I'm so persecuted. How many of you are persecuted? Any? Listen to this. When's the last time you were going through stuff that was so bad that you just couldn't deal with it? If you're still alive and you're here, obviously it's not the end of the world. We need to buck up say, you know what? We live in a free country for now. And we have opportunities that people in other parts of the world dream about. That's why they're always wanting to come here. We like our things. We like doing what we do. We say things like, let's listen to some of our songs. Can I do that for you? You don't have to sing them. Tempted and tried, we all seem to wonder how it could be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. When's the last time you were molested? Do you hear that poor, pitiful me junk going on in that? When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year? Here's a question. Why do we have to lose the people we love while evil people out there get to live? You ever hear those statements? God, why didn't you kill one of them instead of one of ours? You pointing fingers at God, that's not a good idea. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Why can't I get a grip on it now? Why do I have to go whine and moan and cry in my communion juice? Why can't we grow up and understand now that evil came into the world and we are all affected by it? All of us. The same sun shines on the just and the unjust. And so it is with clouds of darkness. Are we to believe that we're exempt from sufferings just because we're covenant believers? We are heard to say, I just want to go to heaven when I die. But when you die, and when we do, according to Paul, we will sleep until the resurrection. And at that point, we will arise and walk this earth again for many. And we're going to be a surprise in what we find. God never, ever told you He would take you into His heaven. And I've told you 100 times, you can't count but 5 that's ever been there. You need to quit looking for what's not yours. Now, what I will tell you is when we do die, we'll sleep until the resurrection. When that happens, and we're raised from the grave, we're going to stand on this earth again. Those who are not in His embrace will be destroyed. You will walk this earth again. You can't beat a deal like that. You're going to live forever. That means longer than you already are old. Forever? Your body's going to be glorified by God. And there will be no wrongness in it anywhere. We need to grow up and understand that evil came into the world and we're all affected by it. What John saw was something, if you remember, the text says, coming down out of heaven. You remember that? Do you notice that that wasn't in heaven? It was something that came out of heaven. Well, we've built huge doctrine on passage that's been misread for centuries. Here's your song. You want another song? I have no castle, but my cabin will do till I get home. My mansion's yonder on the hills of glory. Oh, I hope my mansion sits near God's throne. Isn't that sweet? Biggest lie you have been told. God didn't say that. God did not write that song. No castle, no earthly kingdom. My little cabin will do till I get home. Well, note how my little $200,000 cabin's going to get me by till I get to the big house in heaven. I'm going to tell you what. God's going to put you back on this earth. You're looking for the wrong spot. Here's a chorus. Just build my mansion next door to Jesus and tell the angels I'm coming home. Listen to this phrase. It doesn't matter who lives beside me, just so my mansion sit near God's throne. On that next to the last phrase, he just booted them out, said, I ain't none of you around here. That's what we've grown up on. Instead of growing into the precept of God that says, I am the God of life. So if this guy, this doesn't matter where his mansion is, here he's more important than Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And they deserve a spot next door, mind you, to Jesus. I don't get it. You want to hear one more part about that? About the mansion. My mother's mansion lives close by, just across the Golden Avenue. She was the first one to teach me about Jesus, Lord. The very first one to tell me about you. This old boy even booted his poor mama across the road. This is sick. How do we get such junk? Is there any selfishness in that song? Huh? Full of it. Does it remind you of something you've seen in the scriptures before? Matthew 20:20-21. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons. Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down, ask a favor of him. Now, they're asking Jesus a favor. Jesus, can you do us a favor? What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit on your right and the other on your left in the kingdom. We're not asking for much. We just want total power. I'm telling you, this was going on when Jesus walked the earth. And we got it more messed up than they had it. Do we realize how selfish we are religiously? You want another song? I'm thinking today of a beautiful land I shall reach when the sun goeth down. When through wonderful grace by the Savior I stand, will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown? When at evening the sun goeth down, when I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? In the strength of the Lord, let me labor and pray. Let me watch as a winner of souls. That bright stars may be mine in that glorious day when the praise like the sea billows roll. Oh, what joy it will be when his face I behold, living gems at his feet lay down. It would sweeten my bliss in the city of gold should there be any stars in my crown. You want to be filthy rich. You want everything to be about you. And that's not selfish. All of the work of the redemption of Christ that went on from the beginning of the Bible to the end was the work of God to bring about a covenant family. It almost makes me sick to tell you this stuff. But I'm not going to let you be ignorant of stuff. If I give my life to Jesus to keep from going to hell, is it about me or Jesus? The thing is, the whole scripture is about Him, not you, not me. Is that right or wrong? About Him. He created the world. He made it all happen. He kept it going and keeps it going. We tell people, come to Jesus. You'll be happy. Jesus says, come to me. You're going to be weary and heavy laden. Well, ain't that a caution? We tell people, come to Jesus. Escape your troubles. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. We tell people, come to Jesus, you'll be happy. Jesus tells us, come to me because you're going to be weary and heavy laden. In this world, you'll have troubles. What do we need to know and understand here is that any pagan could sing those same songs. Do you know that? None of this is or has ever been about you. It has been about what God does for you, but it's all about Him. All about Him. Jesus Christ didn't save you and me to keep us from going to hell, as most understand, because the doctrines about that so messed up. Take forever to figure it all back out. It's always been about Him. So when you sing a song and you're in this mode and you're singing this song, and we sing that song and say, boy, the singing is so lovely. I wonder how much God got out of it. I wonder how much God was lifted up with it. To die to ourselves is a process Jesus calls us to. And live for Him, rescuing His whole creation as we go. This is not just about your salvation. It's about everything God ever made that when He got through and He said, it is good. It is good. It is good. Was it corrupted by evil people? You know that what the whole redemption thing is about is setting back right what God put in place. That's what church is about. Humanity was damaged because of selfishness and the flaws that spring up from the seeds of all of that. What would you have to have happen in a human being such as yourself to be a reflection of God? What does it have to be? We have to make a choice. We don't live our life to impress anybody. I mean, there's people in this room that's way, way smarter than I am. And that's no contest. But you never had seen a hick do it before. I got the edge on you. God don't care whether I'm a hick or whether I can spell right. God cares if I'm in His covenant and bringing about His great favor back into the world. That's our job. Not about you. I'll tell you this. You don't dare do anything right for what you get out of it. You don't dare do anything right because of any intention except the reflection of the image of God. You don't not tell the truth instead of a lie because it's wrong but to lie, but you tell the truth because of the reflection of God. You don't give your life to Christ so you don't be punished, but you do it to become a reflection of God. You don't live your life to impress anyone. But we need to work toward making a vow to die to ourselves and live for Him. Listen to this. Anywhere you have to put I in the text, you need to take it out. You put he or him. I'll tell you, God is on our side. We can't be selfish people. And we can't correct this nation with this little dab of people here, but we can correct this room. We can correct this place. And who knows what God will send through here to send somewhere else that might make it happen somewhere else. What do you think about that? Church says, amen.